Also, we know of times where, even as Christ taught his disciples to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That God at times lets his children go the way they would go in their flesh and heart, and they fall grievously. But I believe in all that, it's to teach us just how sovereign God is, not only in revealing our sin, but sovereign also in his grace. So that's the first point that I would bring out here in this particular story of David: God's sovereignty and sin. Sin is not a surprise to God. It wasn't even in the beginning when Adam fell. God purposed that Adam should fall because from eternity he had purposed that his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be honored in giving him sinners out of a fallen world for whom the Lord Jesus Christ would come and pay their sin debt. So it took Adam falling as the representative of his race, because God had already purposed there be that second Adam, or that last Adam, who would represent his race. That's how the scriptures represent it over in Romans chapter 5. Some people not understanding or believing even in God's absolute sovereignty, directing all things, that they can bow to this being the case. But it's what the scriptures teach. We dare not come to God in any other way than what he has ordained. And I'll tell you that the only way that he can ever accept any sinner in his presence is through the person and the work of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't try to change it. Don't try to add to it. Don't try to diminish it. There are a lot of people today that think, well, this is old. Bible's old. We need to come up with contemporary worship. How many times you hear that? And so they're coming, just like the prophets of Baal, they're dancing around the altar with all the music and everything going on, and thinking that somehow that is what pleases God. But what do we read here in verse 2? See, this is a God that this world doesn't know. There went out fire from the Lord. This is his wrath. And devoured them. You stop and think about who we are as sinners. Why does not the wrath of God consume us? Well, if God has put us in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what those high priests represented, that's what those sacrifices represented, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that wrath the Lord Jesus Christ endured when he hung there on the cross, when God poured out his wrath, his justice upon his son. When it says poured out his wrath, it doesn't mean God hated his son. But he dealt with his son in justice, because that son had become the sin bearer. And so God, the chastisement of our peace fell upon him. But either way, every sinner is going to have to face the wrath of God. It'll be either an eternal condemnation without a ransom, without a savior, or it'll be in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to put away the sin of that people that the Father gave him. And there it says in verse 2, they died before the Lord. Can you see why it was that this pattern was not to be deviated from, that everything had to be exactly as God had ordained?